I'm Earlonne Woods.
I'm Nigel Poor. We're the hosts and creators of Ear Hustle from PRX's Radiotopia.
Ear Hustle is a show about life inside prison, but it's not your typical prison podcast.
In this next season, we've got stories about the objects people keep inside their prison cells.
About residents in a women's prison who say they want to stay there.
And the most beautiful prison garden. Earlonne, I will never forget it.
Ear Hustle. Stories about life on the inside, told by those who live it.
Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts.
Support for WABE comes from 100 Miles, a nonprofit committed to preserving Georgia's 100-mile coast. Protecting this critical coastal ecosystem takes all of us. Watch the stories of the innovators and future leaders who help keep our coast flowing at OurGeorgiaCoast.org.
For Wednesday, September the 15th, 2021, it's The Brief from WABE. I'm Jim Burris. Fulton County commissioners have voted to spend money to hire 50 more positions to deal with a backlog of cases in the district attorney's office. We get more now from WABE's Emil Moffitt.
District Attorney Fonnie Willis says the office fell behind at the start of the pandemic. She and several commissioners say the office shut down under previous DA Paul Howard. The backlog has been compounded, she says, by an increase in crime.
What happens if I don't get what I need? The reality is we don't get to as many cases. We half do our job. We skip steps, and we're all in danger. I'm not supposed to say that, but that's the truth.
Willis says there's been a 48% surge in murders in Fulton County in the last year, and there are more than 200 murder defendants who have not yet been indicted. The hires will cost the county $780,000 this year and $5 million a year going forward. Emil Moffitt, WABE News.
The head of Planned Parenthood Southeast says she's feeling pretty good going into a hearing next week in federal appeals court about Georgia's restrictive heartbeat abortion law. Stacey Fox is CEO of the group. It's one of the plaintiffs in the original case to block Georgia's law, which bans abortions at about 6 weeks when fetal cardiac activity can often be detected.
This is settled law. This Georgia law, HB 481, is unconstitutional, and that's clear, and that's why we got a temporary restraining order, and we're fighting for a permanent injunction.
A federal judge struck down Georgia's law last year, saying it violates the right to abortion laid out in Roe versus Wade. State officials appealed that decision. A hearing on that appeal is set for next Friday. The top five candidates in the race for Atlanta mayor, according to the latest polling numbers, tried to tackle one of the city's most vexing questions last night, that being, how do you boost Atlanta's housing supply? We get more now from Emil Moffitt. Their answers came during a forum in front of a few hundred real estate professionals at Clark Atlanta University.
Former Mayor Kasim Reed, once again a candidate to lead the city, says Atlanta's problems with rising rents and unforgiving traffic could both be solved. He says start by building on undeveloped land around MARTA stations.
So I think that we should be highly aggressive, all gas, no brakes on development around every MARTA stop.
Attorney Sharon Gay says it's not just around MARTA stations. She says the city has acres and acres of vacant land that can be developed.
We can accommodate several hundred thousand new residents in those areas without having to do anything in our historic neighborhoods.
Wherever new housing is built, current City Council President Felicia Moore says Atlanta needs to be better prepared for more growth.
If we build more housing, we've got to make sure that we're able to support it. With our services, with our police officers, we've got to have firefighters who have trucks that can reach these buildings.
Councilmember Antonio Brown says no decision about what's built where should be made without the go-ahead of neighborhood planning units.
The community deserves to have a say. We have MPUs. The late Maynard Jackson developed the MPU system so that neighborhoods could determine what kind of development they want to see in their communities.
And Andre Dickens says as mayor, he'd rely on a tactic he's implemented as a city council member, convincing reluctant Atlantans to welcome more neighbors by using incentives for developers.
So I gave people density bonuses in exchange for 10 to 15% of the units being set aside for affordability.
And affordable housing is one thing all five candidates agree the city could use more of. Emil Moffitt, WABE News.
The city of Decatur schools will require staff members to get the COVID-19 vaccine. Martha Dalton reports it's the first Metro Atlanta School District to issue a vaccine mandate.
Employees have until the end of October to get inoculated or complete the exemption process. Those that get an exemption will be required to take a COVID test daily. The district plans to offer both vaccines and tests. Decatur Superintendent Maggie Furman doesn't need the school board's approval to roll out the staff mandate, but Furman said last month the district is also considering a mandate for students. She would need board approval for that. At a school board meeting this week, Furman said officials are still working out details for a possible vaccine requirement for students. The staff mandate comes as state officials say 60% of all COVID-19 outbreaks in Georgia now occur in K-12 schools. Martha Dalton, WABE News.
After Hurricane Katrina devastated New Orleans in 2005, an estimated one half of that city's population left. More than 100,000 never came back. It's now been 3 weeks since Hurricane Ida decimated parts of Louisiana, and it could be weeks more before power is restored to some areas. It's not clear whether Ida will have the same effect on the area's long-term population, but just as in 2005, many of those escaping harm's way have ended up here in Atlanta. Yesterday, I met two.
Our kitchen here, it's small, but let's just cook fresh food and all that we can eat every day.
Speaking through a face mask, 22-year-old Justice Jackson shows me around the suburban studio motel room she and her boyfriend, 24-year-old Ken Bridges, share.
We sit down and eat here.
It's not big, no bigger really than a standard motel room, despite a few extra amenities.
We don't have much clothes for it, but it's there. We need anything to put in it.
It's not a problem, though. When they left home in New Orleans, they didn't bring much.
Do you all get on each other's nerves being in such close spaces all the time?
Yeah, we need to go to work. Okay. We need to go to work.
Ken and Justice made the decision to leave Louisiana before Ida arrived. Even if the process hasn't been the easiest, Ken says the decision to leave was.
I survived Katrina. You know, I was there when I was a child. And due to that experience, when we saw that the hurricane was on the way, we decided to go ahead and leave ahead of the pack. It's just a recurring theme at this point in my life. So I know that there's more opportunity out here, and a tree fell through our roof, so returning home isn't an option.
As in, they're not going back. When they first got to Atlanta, they were paying nightly for a hotel room. Ken says it wasn't sustainable. Seeking help, they came across the phone number for Hosea Helps, the Atlanta-based nonprofit.
And this program really, it's helping a tremendous amount. We were paying $130 a night for a room. Yeah, and they're paying for the room for us now and going to help us get housing, job opportunities, whatever we need, they're helping us with.
Having their room covered is a huge relief, but how long that safety net will remain for the couple and some two dozen other families Hosea Helps is housing? That's unclear. Hosea's CEO, Elizabeth Omalami, says the organization wasn't planning for Ida, so there wasn't much of a budget.
At $13,000 a week, we can only maintain that for a week. I'd say a couple of weeks at the most. You know, we don't know what's going to happen to these families next week. And so they're coming to us at a time when technically we should have said, I'm sorry, this isn't budgeted. You'll just have to live in your car until FEMA gets itself together. But that's not the culture of our company.
And back at the suburban Atlanta motel, Ken makes sure to plug the organization's website.
The number four. Hosea, H-O-S-E-A .org.
In a time when Ida, for many, seems to be just another recent headline, he's as grateful for the continued leg up as he is hopeful for a new future.
What's that like starting kind of fresh?
We don't like to sit around and beat ourselves up. You know, we like to take it in, use it as a driving mechanism, you know.
It's overwhelming, but just have to get through it.
Overwhelming.
Have to work hard to get through it.
And that's it for The Brief. You can find more local news at WABE.org. Lily Oppenheimer produced today's program. Kathleen Quillian is our editor. I'm Jim Burris. Thanks for listening.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause. and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.
Local, state, national politics. WABE and NPR have the coverage you need. I'm Jim Burris, host of WABE's All Things Considered. Whether it's on the air at 90.1, streaming online, or connecting through our mobile app, WABE keeps you on top of election 2024 in what's sure to be a pivotal year in politics. And for candidates and ballot information, visit our election hub at wabe.org/election2024.